Good to see everyone this morning. We're going to start out this morning, if you would. Stand with me. We're going to sing Psalm 720, Jesus Loves Even Me. Bless this service. Pray that your spirit would move. Lord, challenge anyone that needs to be challenged. Humble whoever needs to be humbled. Lift up whoever needs to be lifted up. Lord, if there be anybody here that doesn't know you as their Savior, Lord, I pray that you would deal with that this morning. Lord, be with the time of singing. I pray that you'd fill us with your spirit. Lord, help us to sing praises to you. Lord, fill pastor with your spirit. Use him to preach the word that you've laid on his heart. Speak through him, Lord. Hide him behind the cross, Lord, and use him to deliver the word that we need to hear this morning. Lord, we thank you that you love us. Lord, help us, Lord, to draw close to you this morning. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. If you would, turn to page 418. Faith is the victory. Page 418.
Thank you. I'd lose my own head if it wasn't attached to my shoulders this morning. Forgetting things and, you know. So as announcements go, Lord willing, this morning after the morning service, we're going to have a short little meeting with the members. So if you're a member and you'd like to stay for the meeting to be after this morning service, Lord willing, the last weekend in October, so that's the 29th, 30th, and 31st, it's a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Lord willing, we're going to have a little revival service Friday evening, probably start at 7, and Sunday or Saturday evening start at 6. But Pastor Tim Kroth out of Virginia, he'll be with us those three nights to have a little revival meeting here. And then, Lord willing, next Sunday morning, we're going to have missionary Anil Javid, who's a missionary to Pakistan. I believe he goes to a church right over there in New Jersey. I forget the name of the church off the top of my head right now. But he'll be with us. Him and his family will be with us next Sunday morning to share what God's laid upon his heart as he tries to go back and minister to the Christians there in Pakistan. And that's one thing that's needful. One thing that was a blessing about him is he's from there. So for him to go back, he's basically going back to his own people. He knows the language. He knows two of the languages over there. So we'll be praying for him. And Lord willing, he'll be here with us next Sunday. And that's all I have off the top of my head. Appreciate those that pray for us going out and doing public outreach on Thursday evenings. Thursday was a good night. Nobody yelled at us. I got to stand next to a witch. It's a blessing. You know? It's not a blessing to be able to hold a scripture sign next to another sign that says some Halloween nonsense with a witch there. You know? It's just a blessing to have a light shine. God's scripture's going out. You know? A lot of beeps, a lot of thumbs up. So, you know, just to get out there in the community and get somebody to think about their soul and where they might spend eternity.
Yes.
I appreciate those that pray for that hour, that evening. Just lift us up in prayer and God just bless his word. So, amen.
All right. This last song here this morning is going to be one of my favorites. One of my favorite topics. A topic I don't think I'll ever fully understand, but I am very thankful for. Would please stand with me. We're going to sing song number 821, Grace Greater Than Our Sin.
No.
song here before, but I want you to listen real close to the words. This song is a contrast of what it cost our Savior when he died for our sins and what we got when he gave his life for mine.
His heart was broken, mine was mended. He became sin, now I am clean. The cross he carried bore my burden. The nails that held him set me free. His life for mine, his life for mine. How could it ever be that he would die? God's Son would die to save a wretch like me.
Of suffering brought me healing. He spilled his blood to fill my soul. His crown of thorns made me royalty. His sorrow gave me joy untold.
Blessing this morning. Again, that question. I do not understand why Jesus Christ would die for a wretch like me. You know, John Newton had Amazing Grace, what they sang right here. Why would Jesus die for me? I don't understand it. I can't comprehend it. Brother, not only did he die, get this now, not only did he die to take away your sins for all for eternity.
eternally saved. You are secure. If you're saved this morning, you are eternally secure in the blood of Jesus Christ. You, brethren, this morning, not only are you saved, you are the righteousness of Christ. What you now have in Jesus cannot be described. So not only do you have righteousness, you now also have an opportunity to lay up treasures in heaven. Not only did he just save you so that you don't have to go to hell and pay for your sins in hell. Not only just save you, imagine how good God would be if he just saved us and just left us here for all of eternity. That'd be a good God. Just pardon you and you just keep living this life down here on this planet. And this is what you get. No, we get heaven. We get a mansion. We get any rewards that we're working for down here now, someday up over there on the other side. And we get to be kings and priests with him for all of eternity on the other side. You're just not going to go home to heaven and just lay in a bed the rest of eternity. There's going to be a whole nother world, a new heaven and a new earth and a whole new setup and a whole new things to do that God's got planned for us for all of eternity. His blood for mine, that God would save a wretch like me. Joy, peace, comfort, I wouldn't trade it for nothing. I wouldn't trade being in church this morning for nothing. I don't care if you offer me the biggest fish in the world to catch out there in the ocean. I wouldn't trade it with being here this morning. Or whatever you like doing, you can have it. Take the world and give me Jesus. Amen and amen. If you're able to take your Bibles this morning, we're going to continue on in our study in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1. If you're able to stand, please stand in the reading of God's Word here. Romans chapter 1. And we're going to pick up here in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 8, to kind of just get some context here. Paul writing to the church at Rome, and he says in chapter 1 and verse number 8, Paul says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for y'all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to the Greek and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this opportunity this morning. Lord, I pray now, Lord, that you would just lead, guide, and direct. Lord, I pray to be nothing here this morning that would quench your spirit. Lord, I pray you just deal with souls. Lord, help us to draw near to you in these last days that we're living in. And Lord, just lead and direct us in all knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And give us what we need. And we ask these things now in the name of your precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We looked at the last couple weeks about verses 8, 9, and 10, and how Paul, as you read through Romans and Galatians and Colossians and Philippians and Ephesians and Thessalonians, and just this common theme through all, how Paul starts off all his epistles to these churches and how he has a heart's desire for them, how without ceasing he makes mention of them in prayers always. And it seems like he desires to see every single church and every believer that is in every church that he has established. And I said it through these weeks here, a common theme of loving one another and wanting to be around one another, lifting each other up in prayers unto our God for one another. But he says here in... Well, before I go into verses 11 and 12, I want to ask this question. I might have asked it last week. Just kind of review, though, real quick. We should always be an encouragement to one another and for this purpose. I was thinking about it when I was praying earlier. And, you know, if someone's out there drowning in a lake or in a river, sometimes one of the ways that individuals or a crowd will try to save an individual is they'll make a human chain. And I got thinking about that just this morning here of how important it is to be with one another, be around one another, to strengthen one another, to pray for one another in a spiritual sense so that we can be a human chain for anybody that might need to be rescued or pulled out of the drowning waters. Think about that this morning. If any individual, if any member of the church is missing out of that chain, it's going to make it more difficult to rescue that one that's out there in that river. If everybody is pulling in the same direction, has the same heart, has the same motive, has the same desire towards the Lord Jesus Christ, we can all be interlocked with one another and go out there and save who may be out there in those rivers or those waters or that ocean in order to bring them into safety. But if individuals are missing and links are missing, that means it's got to be a little bit shortened and there needs to be other ways to go out there and figure out how to help that individual. But if everybody's pulling in the same direction at the same time, what can be done for the Lord Jesus Christ? What can be done in this church for the Lord Jesus Christ and His cause? We come together not to only encourage one another, but we come together to provoke one another unto good works. Take your Bible and hold your hand there and look over at Titus chapter 3 and verse number 8. Provoking one another, not to where we start yelling at one another by provoking each other. I said it during the Sunday school hour. There's a lot of things that we could do to each other to really provoke one another to get us upset. Now, we ought not to be doing that. We ought to be provoking one another unto good works. Titus chapter 3, verse number 8. Titus 3:8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly. Paul's talking to Titus, his son here, and he says, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm just one time, not just one time, not just two times. Paul says to him, affirm these things constantly. So whatever he's getting ready to say after this must be pretty important because Paul wants him to continually do it. That they which have believed in God. Now, if you believed in God this morning and you're saved, you've been born again, you've been converted, you passed from darkness to light, He's made you a new creature in Jesus Christ. If you believed in God this morning, might be careful to maintain good works. Do you see what Paul tells Titus this morning to put the emphasis on? If you believe in God, what is God? What does Paul want Titus to affirm constantly? Daily, momentarily, every moment, affirm constantly that if you believed in God, you be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. You want to have a profitable walk with God. You want to have a profitable Christianity. Paul tells Titus that if you want to be profitable this morning, I don't know if you do or you don't, but if you want to be profitable in your walk with God this morning, Paul says, be careful, which means show diligence that you maintain always, constantly, good works. Preacher, what are those good works? I don't know. I don't know what it is in your own life. Take your Bible, look at 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse number 10. 1 Timothy, few books before Titus. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and then you have Titus. 1 Timothy chapter 5. And look what Paul tells this other brother in the Lord, his other son in the faith. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse number 10. He's referring to widows here, but I think it can apply to all of us that are saved. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 10, referring to, again, a widow. He says, look, you weren't supposed to take a widow into the number unless she met these things here in verse 10. Well reported out for what? First thing. Here he says, good works. What are the women in the church, women believers, to be about? Good works. Good works. What can you do for someone else? What can you do for someone else? Be careful to maintain good works. A good work might just be giving a phone call to someone that God's laid on your heart. That just might be the good work. Brethren, there's been times where I've been struggling, and I've had this before, and I told my wife this. But there was a time it was a battle, it was the struggle, there was some just heavy things, and somebody in this church sent my wife a text for me. And what that individual sent to my wife in a text for her and me boosted my spirits. Actually, it brought tears to my eyes. I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You knew I needed that right at this moment that I needed it. That, my brethren, is a good work. That is a good work. Maintain good works. Paul tells Timothy regarding widows, but I think it goes for all of us. Well reported of good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she diligently followed what again? Every good work. Basically, what this woman's about? Serving God. Serving God, and as she serves God, she's serving others. What can I do to be a blessing to others is the motto and the mindset of this woman as she goes forward with God. You weren't to take her in a number if she didn't bring up children, if she didn't lodge strangers, if she didn't wash the saints' feet. Look, she might not have ever had the opportunity to do so, but was she willing to do so? Was her heart there? If the opportunity presented itself, would she do it? She had to be about good works. Look at this woman here in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, we look at a woman here in the Bible that was about good works. And it even tells us what she did. Acts chapter 9, verse number 36. Looking at Dorcas here. Tabitha. Look at what she did. Look what Tabitha did. Acts chapter 9, verse 36. Remember again, maintain good works. Maintain good works. Acts chapter 9 and verse number 36. Acts 9, 36. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deed, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died. Whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them, and when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. If you're a widow in here this morning, be about good works. This widow here and others, widows that were with her, what did they do? It seemed that they got together and they made coats for those that had a need. Doing for others. Being about good works. You say, preacher, I'd like to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to be about something that he could give me. Ask him. And ask him to show you what you can do in your life with the time that you have to be about good works. We all have different schedules. We all have different things that are coming in our life. We have all different things happening in our life. But there is and should be always an opportunity to do good works in the name of Jesus Christ. If you make something and you give it to a lost person and they say, thank you so much for it, you say, I'm doing this in the name of Jesus. This is being done for Jesus Christ. I'm doing this because my Lord wants me to do this. Oh, really? Yeah. Why? Because he's laid it upon my heart. Because I want to give glory to him and I want to be a help to you. being about good works. It's just not the pastor and his wife's responsibilities. It's all of us. Every one of us ought to be have an attitude and a mindset of, how can I help? What can I do? Is there anything that I can do to be a blessing to God? Now, I don't want everybody lining up in front and say, preacher, what can I do? Preacher, what? No, no. You pray and you ask God to open a door, and I believe He will. It's not a matter of what I want you to do. It's a matter of what God wants you to do as we strive together for the cause of Christ. I believe that as sure as I'm standing here. I've seen it through my Christian life so far that God has opened up doors for individuals like brethren. I've seen through the years that God just brings something across their path and they take off and they run with it. And that's their thing. And that's what they do for Jesus Christ. That's their good work. Get a hold of God and ask Him, Lord, what can I do to bring You glory and honor? Take your Bible, look over at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 11. 1 Peter 2, 11. 1 Peter chapter 2 and 11. And again, I'm not doing an exhaustive study this morning on good works. But just know, as you read through the New Testament, especially the epistles and on, you're going to see this common theme that God, the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, ought to be about doing good works. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they might speak against you as evildoers, they don't care about humanity. They don't care about the community. They don't care about what's going on around us. They're just about themselves, and they want to condemn everybody to hell and blah, 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 and they don't love everybody. They that speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. You wonder how you put to silence the gainsayer? You don't want how you put to silence the one that says that you're an evildoer? Good works. Good works. Being about doing good works for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll get the glory, He'll get the honor, and others might see their need of salvation. So back to Romans chapter 1 real quick. Verse number 11 says in Romans chapter 1, Paul says here in 11 and 12 of Romans chapter 1, for I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Paul says here, Paul says, I desire to see you. I long to see you. For what purpose? That he may impart unto them some spiritual gift, with the purpose that them receiving these spiritual gifts will help them to be established in their faith and in their walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, spiritual gifts. Romans, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about spiritual gifts. If you want to turn over there real quick, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul lists here some spiritual gifts to the church there at Corinth. And it seems like he had the same desire to come there to Rome as well and to impart unto them some type of a spiritual gift. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. So he wanted the church there at Corinth to not be ignorant of these spiritual gifts. He says in verse 2, ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are diversities of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. Brethren, you see it right here in this church. I'm going to probably have a different administration, a different way of operating, and a different way of doing things than Pastor Gary Freeman did. And there's nothing wrong with it as long as it's not sinful, because there are differences of operation, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. Any man that you would get in here as a pastor, if God forbid something happened to me and somebody else came in here, all three, all four, all five, all six pastors, we have a completely different way of doing something, a different way of administering, a different way of operation. But it's the same God that works all in all, as long as it's not sinful or against Scripture. And there's nothing wrong with that. Allow God to use it. Allow God to use it. Is everything in our life always the same? No. You see that in raising children. Your child's not always 2 years old. Your child's not always 10 years old. You see that in marriages. You see that in relationships. It's constantly changing and growing. And it can be good and better if you allow it to be so. Growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ and realizing that there's differences of administrations, differences of operation, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. You know why I bring that up? And I sound like a broken record, but I can't get this off my mind. I can't get it off my heart. It's because we're striving together. We're striving together for the purpose and glorification of Jesus Christ. Verse 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, diverse kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretations of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink with one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Now, we're not going to go through this whole thing and study the doctrinal aspects here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. My purpose in reading this is Paul desired to impart unto those there at Rome some spiritual gift. He talks here to the church at Corinth and he says, here are some spiritual gifts. There's differences of operations. There's differences of administrations. These spiritual gifts are divvied out as the Spirit seems in his will, in his direction. The Spirit divvies these things out. But for what purpose? The glorification of Jesus Christ and the edification of the body. They weren't all given the same gifts. They all didn't speak with tongues. They didn't all prophesy. They all didn't have the spirit of discernment or discretion. They were divvied out as the Lord and His Spirit saw fit. But they were to work together as one because they're one body. Now, I don't think tongues is for today. I don't think prophecy is for today. I think it's fulfilled here. We have the full canon of Scripture. Back then, they didn't have that. They didn't have the whole Bible, at least in the New Testament, like we do. But the reason I bring this up is this. There's still spiritual gifts that each one of us has. I cannot play the piano. Well, I can play the piano, but you probably wouldn't like it. I can go over there and hit those keys with my fingers and do all kinds of crazy stuff over there, but it's not going to sound like Jason's playing it. He has a gift. He's got a talent. He needs to use it for the glory of Jesus Christ. Some of us in here, and this is no knock on anybody, it's just a fact. Maybe everybody in here can sing, I don't know. Some people can't sing. They're tone deaf. Nothing against them. It's the way they were born. They're tone deaf. They can't hear a tune. They can't keep a tune. But can they still glorify God with their voice? Absolutely. But there are individuals in this church that I know that can harmonize, that can sing different parts of music. That's a gift to be used not to edify you, not to praise you, not to glorify you, but to glorify, praise, and honor Jesus Christ with the gift that God has given you. There's individuals in here that are good with computers. I am not good with a computer. I am not good with a computer. I know how to turn it on. I know how to go to Word. And I know how to look up a few things on the internet. That's about it. Don't talk to me about gigabytes, terabytes. I have no clue what they are. I don't know nothing about them. Don't ask. I have no idea. That's not me. But some in here are good with that. There's some individuals here that are good with their hands and making things and designing things and putting things together. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? What is your specialty? What are you good at? Use it for the glory of God. Paul desired to come to Rome to impart to them some spiritual gift for their benefit and his, to glorify Jesus Christ. Look back over at Romans chapter 1, verse 11. Look what it says here in verse number 11, the latter part of it, after he talks about some spiritual gifts. He talks about imparting to them some spiritual gift. For what purpose? To the end ye may be established. The word established means this: set, fixed, firmly founded. Paul wanted them to be about their father's business with some type of spiritual gift, being about working for the Lord, to the purpose that they might be established. Paul desired for the brethren to be established, to be fixed, to be set firmly. Why? As a witness and a testimony to those that are around them. Look at Romans chapter 16. Look where he finishes up here in this letter to the Romans. Look what he says at the very end to them in chapter 16 and verse 25. Romans chapter 16, verse 25. Romans 16, 25. Now to him that is of power to, here's that word, establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Brethren, what is our purpose now as believers? To glorify God, to worship and praise Him, and to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is your number one responsibility as a believer in Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 2. Paul said that they may be established, impart some spiritual gift, that they may be established. Look at Colossians chapter 2. This theme of being established, being fixed, being settled. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 1. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 1. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and into all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, to whom are hid all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. For though I be and this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. For what purpose, Paul? Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Paul desires for those that he writes these letters to, these churches in these different areas, to get to a point to where they grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, so much so that they're rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. I guess what I say this morning is Paul desires for them to move past the baby stage into adulthood. We need Christians today, we need believers today that are rooted and built up in Christ and that are established in the faith in order to be a rock for others. In order to be a rock for others. How do these things occur? How is one rooted and built up? How is one established in the faith? By being taught and abounding with thanksgiving. Lord, thank you for my church. Lord, thank you for my brethren. Lord, thank you that you would even be willing to take this wretch right here, God, and use me. What they sang this morning. Apply what they sang this morning and listen to the words of what they sang this morning and realize there's no good in you. But God wants to use you for his glory, for his praise, with thanksgiving. He says in verse 2 here in Colossians that they were knit together in love. The brethren at Colossae, Paul desired that they would be knit together in love. The word knit, some of you in here might knit, and I love things that are knitted. I just like the way it looks. But when you knit something, you unite closely those pieces of thread or yarn, whatever you use. You unite it closely. You draw it together or else you couldn't use it. If someone knitted me a jacket or a sweater or a hat or socks, if those threads, that if they weren't connected and put together, there would be no use of them because it would just fall apart. But when those threads and the maker of that piece of clothing, that maker comes together and knits those things together, it makes something precious and useful for that individual. When you allow God to work through your church and do the things that God wants to do in your life and be thankful that he's working in your life, it'll bring us together, knit together, because God's the great knitter, to knit us together to something that he once used as Ray Street Baptist Church. But it takes everyone coming together, forming that product that God wants in order to be a benefit for whatever he desires to be. Does that make sense this morning? Knit together in love. I don't like you, and I don't like you, and I don't like... Oh, you're breaking apart the sock. You're pulling on that thread, and it's pulling apart the sock, which was initially knit together. Knit together in love. Because there's going to be individuals who will try to beguile you. Look at verse 4 now. Colossians 2. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. Be care who whispers in your ear. They may just be trying to tear apart rather than build up. Do you hear me this morning, brother? That's one of the most important things I can say. Be careful who's whispering in your ear. Beguile means to delude or deceive. Entice means inciting to evil, urging to sin by motives, flattery, or persuasions, alluring. Be careful of ones that speak in your ear and try to pull you away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Try to pull you away or allure you by beguiling words from the scriptures. Or beguile you and allure you and entice you to pull you away from the direction that the church is trying to go. That's the spirit of rebellion. Brethren, if there's sin, then you deal with the sin. But if it's just something you don't like, get on board with it. Brethren, I'm being dead serious this morning, as sure as I'm standing here. You ain't going to go no further if you're beguiled by enticing words of another. Because they're trying to pull you away of something that's trying to be done. be careful. Paul says here, Paul gives them a warning here at Colossae. He just got done talking about being knit together in love unto the full riches of the full assurance of understanding and the mystery that God's trying to reveal to them, all the hid treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And the very next verse in verse 4, he says, be careful of someone creeping in, trying to beguile you with enticing words and drawing you away from what God's trying to do. Be careful of those individuals. Be rooted and built up in Jesus Christ as we try to serve the Lord together. Now, Paul says back in that verse there in Romans, he says, that is, that I may be comforted together you with by the mutual faith both of you and me. Paul received, not only did he receive comfort by seeing others walk and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're still there in Colossians, look at verse 5. Look what Paul tells him. He says, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit. And look what he says. Joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Paul received joy. Paul received comfort. Paul received help when he heard and knew that the churches that God helped him to establish were walking in order, they were walking in the Spirit, and they were steadfast in the faith of Jesus Christ. Paul took joy in that, even though he was absent from them in the flesh. Paul says the same type of thing here to Rome, to the Romans in Rome. He says that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith of both you and me. Reciprocal, interchanged, a mutual faith. Christianity must be lived out by each of its believers. A believer cannot just rest upon the teachings, victories, and beliefs of another. Yea, rather, one must have their own walk of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We must mutually serve the Lord together and be about his will till he comes. Jude verse 3 says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Are you this morning earnestly contending for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints? Earnestly means with fixed attention, with eagerness. Contend means to strive, to use earnest efforts to obtain or to defend and preserve. Are you fighting for the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? Are you contending for it? This mutual faith, both of you and me. This can only be done by the Spirit and power of God. Stephen is a perfect example. I'm not going to read it this morning, but in Acts chapter 6, Stephen there contends for the faith, but the Bible says that he was full of faith and power. And God did something with Stephen and that individual, and those individuals, so much so to resist the wisdom and the Spirit which he spake, they could not do. Stephen was full of the Spirit and power of God. He was contending for the faith, the mutual faith of all the brethren. And the Bible says they couldn't resist his wisdom and the Spirit by which he spake. We need to fight this war together. Paul tells Timothy in chapter 1, he says, this charge I commit unto thee, thou son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went on before thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning the faith have made shipwreck. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called. A mutual faith, a mutual fight together for the cause of Christ. I'm going to close with this thought this morning. Look back at Romans chapter 1. We looked at verses 11 and 12 here about being comforted together with you, but a mutual faith, both of you and me. And then he goes on to say, verses 13 through 15, these words. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. He says in verse 14, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Paul desired to preach the gospel to them. But he says in verse 13 that oftentimes he purposed to come to them, but he was led other ways. That's because the Lord was working in his life. Now I'm going to close with these few thoughts here. Ask God to lead and direct you. I said it in Sunday school. Ask God to lead and direct you every moment of your life. You may say, preacher, or you may say to the Lord, Lord, I have a desire to do this right here. I have a desire to help this individual. I have a desire to do something for them in their life. This is my purpose. This is the direction that I would like to go, dear God. But the Lord may lead you hitherto to another place. The Lord might not allow you to do it. The Lord might not allow you to go there, though you have a desire to do so. I've told people before, sometimes God won't let me do certain things. I've seen it even as a preacher. It might be my heart's desire to do it, and God says, no. It might be a heart desire to go visit somebody, and God's like, no, not right now. God, why not right now? God says, no, not right now. I want you to go do this. It's the same principle you see here with Paul. Paul had a desire to be with all of them, but he couldn't. He was only one man. He couldn't be at Colossae and Thessalonica and Rome and with those that there in Ephesus. He can only be at one place at one time. Though his heart was there, though he had a desire to be there, though he loved those brethren and made intercession consistently in prayers to God for them, he had to be led as God led him. Now, sometimes Satan hindered. As you saw in the book of 1 Thessalonians, Satan hindered him. But sometimes it's not Satan hindering, it's God saying, not right now. Be sensitive to the Spirit. This may sound heretical, whatever. You can think what you want to think on this statement here. I know a lot of Bible believers are like, execute him. God might not want you to witness in every situation. Hear me on this now. There may be times God's saying, keep your mouth shut. Don't say nothing to them about Jesus. Not right now. I had a situation with that with my boss years and years and years and years ago. And it took 4 years before God finally gave me an open door to talk to him. But when I got an opportunity to talk to him, we talked for 2 hours about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let go on God's timing, not yours. Brethren, it takes a walk with Jesus Christ. It takes a walk with God. I've been with brethren before. They feel like every individual they see, they got to give them a track. Absolutely not. It may be heretical. It may be heretical. But you don't see Jesus doing that. Show me from Scripture where Jesus went to every individual, spent time with every individual, went to every city and talked to every person. He didn't. What did Jesus do? He did the Father's will and he had no worries. Do the Father's will and he'll have you witness to, talk to, hand to who he wants you to do it to. See, there's too many brethren today. They take spiritual comfort. They take spiritual. They feel like they're spiritual because they do these things. I gave out 500 tracts today, so I must know. I must be right with God. No, just because you hand out 500 tracts doesn't mean you're right with God. Just because you witness to every person you see doesn't mean you're walking with God. You're doing what you want to do. Now, may God use it. Yes. Because his word doesn't return void, but you might not get no rewards because you're doing what you want to do rather than what God wants you to do. But you know what this takes? It takes a walk with God, which means it takes work and effort, and it takes time with him. We'd rather just do what we got to do. I did my business for God today. Let me get back on my... It's a continual walk with him. It's continual fellowship with him. Take your learnings from Jesus. How did Jesus Christ do it? How many times did Jesus do something for someone and he said, keep your mouth shut and don't tell nobody? Go, when you're reading through the Gospels again, get a little pen or something and write down every time Jesus says, keep your mouth shut. But Lord, just this great thing happened to me. Shouldn't I tell everybody what you did? He says, be quiet. Don't tell nobody. Why would Jesus do that? That's for his purposes, his understanding, his knowledge. I don't understand why, but I know he said to do it. Brethren, these things are important. He says here in Romans chapter 1, the last verse he says in verse 15, he says, so much is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel. Are you ready to preach the gospel? You should go out. I believe I try to do this. I try to have tracts everywhere I go to be ready for whenever I need to be ready to preach the gospel. I look for every opportunity. I look for every open door. I pray, Lord, do you want me to talk to? Nope. Yep. There's been times where God's like, give that individual a tract. I've had to pull the car over, go back, and give that person a tract. Like the Lord would not leave me alone on it. Like, no, I want you to go back and do talk to this individual. Are you ready and willing to preach the gospel to whomever the Lord may lead you? Isaiah 6:8 says this, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and whom will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. 1 Corinthians 9:16 and 17 says this, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. 2 Corinthians 10:15 says this, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. That's the last thing I want you to get right there, and exactly what I was just talking about. For not he that commendeth himself. Well, I've done a good work. I've done what I need to do. It doesn't matter if you think you've done what you do. It's not a matter if it's what you want to do. You commending yourself. It's God commending you, saying you did exactly what I wanted you to do. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Does a servant do whatever he wants to do or hurt she wants? Absolutely not. They do exactly what whoever their servant to says for them to do. I'll close with this. I have children. And if my boys and daughter were younger and me and Melanie were getting ready to go somewhere one day, and before we left out, we told our boys, and I told my daughter, I told my boys, listen, I want you to go out there, and I want you to mow the grass, and I want you to take care of the yard, and Ellie, I want you to clean up the kitchen and whatever, wash, whatever. And me and Melanie go out, and we come back home, and the yard's not mowed, and Ellie hasn't done what she's supposed to do, and I come into my boys, like, boys, well, why ain't the yard mowed? Dad, look at this thing I made for you when you were away. We did some woodworking, and we did some stuff in the shed and cleaned it up, and we made this for you. And Ellie's like, yeah, boy, I didn't do this here because I was in there with the boys helping them to do this for you. Don't you like it? Don't you like what we made for you? Yes, but I'm disappointed, and I'm not happy because you didn't do what I told you to do. You did what you wanted to do to please me. That's nice you made something for me. I appreciate it. But you didn't do what I needed done. That's the same thing with our Lord. Well, Lord, look what I did. Aren't you proud of me, God? I did this for you, Lord. And God says, yeah, I thank you. But you didn't do what I wanted you to do. That would have made me even more happy if you'd have done what I wanted you to do. Not himself that commends himself, but whom the Lord commendeth. Are you ready to preach the gospel? Are you willing to preach the gospel whenever God may have you to preach the gospel? Doing what God desires for us to do. Being about his business. Having a walk with him. That's the question this morning. Paul had a walk with God. See, the Bible says in Proverbs, a man deviseth his way. I'm going to sort of paraphrase it. I'm going to read it so I don't mess it up. Proverbs 16:9. I'm going to close with this scripture. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. You may have some good ideas in your heart. You may have some ways that you want to go, but make sure that the Lord's directing in every step that you take. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning. Lord, I pray you'd help us to always be ready to be about your business. Lord, help us always to be prepared. Lord, to preach the gospel, to tell others about Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to have a heart and a walk that's sensitive with you, Lord. Lord, help us to have discernment in times where you want us just to be quiet. And Lord, help us to have that discernment to where we think we should be quiet and you're telling us to say something. Lord, the devil loves to bring confusion and turn things upside down and to speak when we're not supposed to speak and not speak when we are supposed to speak. Lord, give us direction, give us guidance, give us wisdom. And Lord, help us to walk close to you. Lord, help us to be always ready to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, we'll glorify you, we'll honor you, and we'll praise you. And we ask these things all now in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Let's close with a song here, page number 235. Amen. Page 235.
Amen. 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 Your brother dismissed in about 5 minutes, and we'll get back together with the members that were.